But then you also have the people that are like, my husband, who's an engineer. And what speaks to him is walking into a church that is excellent. Because to him, that says you care about details. And if you care about details in this, then that tells me you care about the details in God's word and how God loves and how God fathers. It means that you're a safe place for me because I know that you're not cutting corners. It means I can trust your integrity. And I think we dismiss that a lot of times. My husband is not moved by the emotional. He's not moved by the creative. He's moved by the fact that, like, the details of our house, our church, how we run, how we operate, are handled with such care and such attention to detail and excellence. That is what makes him tick.
Welcome to episode 123 of the NRT Now podcast. I'm your host, Jake. And whether this is your first time or your 123rd time, just so thankful that you're here spending some time. And if you haven't already, make sure that you are following, subscribe, whatever that looks like on your favorite podcast platform, so you know when new episodes come out. Our guest for this episode is Hope Darst, and we first caught up with Hope, man, it seems like a lifetime ago, back in 2020, after her debut album came out. And it's always just a lot of fun to sit and chat with Hope. We always seem to go off topic or here, there, wherever. I'm sure if we're at church, we would be the ones that the pastors are sitting there looking at their watches, the facilities crew looking at their watches, hoping that they finally clear out so they can shut down and go to lunch. But no, I'm just very excited for you to hear this conversation with Hope. It was a blast, and here we go. All right, well, we're here with Hope Darst, and Hope, it is so good to catch up with you again. It has been, what, 2 years now?
I think it's been 2 years. It's just wild. But it's so nice to see you again.
We're just talking as we're just connecting here and all that, just how time has just like been irrelevant. It seems like it was just a couple of weeks ago that we were chatting.
It does. Time doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. We broke all the clocks in 2020 and we just make up a year. It doesn't matter anymore.
Homeschool, like no tours, like there's no milestones say like, hey, this is what happened.
Yeah, it is strange, right? Like, you know, normally you can kind of measure year. Well, I feel like you measure years in events, right? Yep. So it's whether it's a trip or it's a birth or a marriage or a death, unfortunately, or, you know, something. Yeah, we really do measure time in events. I know you said you had like a kid in the pandemic. So that like measures time. But yeah, it is kind of strange that there wasn't anything happening if you didn't have like one of those big life moments. Like we didn't have a kid in the pandemic or any of that kind of stuff. So it is strange. You just felt like there was no beginning or ending to the year. That was really strange. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like where you just, it was like 2020 ended and then 2020 just kept, it's like, it just kind of kept going and it didn't feel like that marking moment of a new year. And then we got to the end of 21 and it kind of felt similar. Like it felt a little bit more like the tide was changing, but not the way you wanted it to. And even in 2022, here we are. And I think this is the first time we're kind of feeling the, okay, life is different. Life has really changed. And what was normal, it we'll never go back to that. And we're all trying to now figure out post COVID, what does normal look like for all of us? I don't love saying the word normal. It's more like just what is the rhythm that's going to work for us in this season after we've all changed so much, like so much of last couple of years has changed us. And so I think we're all just kind of probably just now kind of starting to see where it's really changed us and kind of evaluate, do I like that change? Is that a good change? Is that not a good change? Like, what do I want to do with that? And how do I want to kind of incorporate or not incorporate that into my life?
It's kind of like the old school gym lights. Like you flip them on and they like kind of half come on. You can almost kind of see. And then like,
and they have that buzz, that like low buzz. Yeah.
And then about like 10, 15 minutes later, like all of a sudden the lights are on. And you're like, oh, wait.
That is a great analogy. That is how it feels a lot.
Although I haven't been in a high school or a gym like that in a while, so I don't know if like that's still the case or that's like relevant to the next generation.
I think that's still pretty relevant.
Yeah, because I mean, now we have like all the energy efficient light bulbs and the LED.
I don't think in gyms. I mean, maybe in some really expensive gym somewhere, but I think the average gym is still hanging out with those good old, old fluorescent.
Yeah, speaking of that, like, I don't even know what's relevant, like, analogies to kids anymore, because, like, I'm realizing, like, I'm so far gone.
Oh, I don't either. I mean, I have a 13 and 11 year old, and I have no idea what is cool and what isn't cool. They're kind of teaching me as we go, but yeah, it's wild. I mean, the last few years has just been different. I mean, you're asking me kind of how life and being an artist changed. I mean, who signs a record deal at the top of 2020 thinking that the whole world's going to shut down? So it was wild in that in some ways I loved it because it meant I got to step into this new thing. But I had a really, really, really long kind of runway to emotionally, I think mentally catch up with what I was signing on to do. Because I think most artists, once they do that, if their songs have any success or their album has any success, like it's a freight train that just, it starts to take off. I mean, look, like, I mean, for example, you had artists like We The Kingdom and Kane who were able to get out before the pandemic, and then they had successful songs at radio and their careers have blown up. Then you had artists like Ann Wilson and Katie Nicole that had songs come out and have success kind of towards, you know, when we were opening back up, and it's been a freight train. And I just happened to fall in that window where I had a song, two songs go to radio that did really well, but the world was shut down. And so in one way, it was amazing because it really allowed me, you know, I think about a lot of those artists, like this is either the only thing that they do or they're much younger in where they are in their stage of life. I signed at 39 with a husband that runs several businesses, two kids at the time that were 9 and 11. And so my ability to just like go out on the road and travel wasn't going to be a reality from the beginning. And I felt like God kind of allowed me the space to be like, I'm not going to ask you to do that. We're going to like really kind of slowly move into this new world of being an artist. And it was a gift for me personally, but this probably the last year has been more of a like, okay, I'm now seeing the impact of having a successful record in a time frame that almost just didn't exist. Whereas I've like kind of started to prepare for a second album and start do all these things, so much is kind of like still being a first time artist that hasn't done anything because I didn't go out on the road and tour. And so I wasn't able to kind of build things organically and naturally the way that most artists would buy their second record, if that makes any sense. I think that initially was kind of like, oh, I guess I didn't really notice. I didn't think about it. It wasn't a big deal to me. And it's still, I'm okay with it. Like from a personal level, that doesn't bother me. But on the business level, you start to like see, oh, that impacts things from the business side of stuff that matters for like your label and your booking agents and those kinds of things. So
somehow you got to make money doing this.
Yeah. Or at least be able to the money you invest, feel like you can at least, you know, break even, that you didn't just make an investment financially. Cause I think people don't think about that a lot of times on the other side. Like as consumers, I wasn't sitting around thinking about, you know, how much money people are investing into these albums and these records. I'm just like, I love your song. It's changed my life. It's happy. And that's invaluable, right? Like you can't put a price tag on that. But when you get into the commerce side of it, to be a good steward of what you're doing, you do have to be responsible with the decisions that you make, and you don't want to be frivolous with how you're spending money, and you want to be smart and strategic, but yet also like stepping out in faith and trusting that the Lord, like when he's leading you, that there's a reason for it. It doesn't mean that it'll necessarily be easy or like all come together the way you think or when you think, but I don't know. I think somewhere along the last year or so, I just really made peace with, I was like, you know what? I didn't get into this for the money. I didn't get into this because I wanted to be some big famous name. Like I got into this like as organically and simply as a person could, just writing songs about my faith and my journey with the Lord and hoping those songs connected with people in their own journeys and in their relationships with the Lord, and nothing's changed. And so if I always am someone who has like a small platform that has the great privilege of releasing music, then I feel incredibly, incredibly blessed to even be able to do that. Cause there's so many people that don't even get that opportunity.
It's like a ministry.
It really is. And it feels weird because I'm in the commerce side of it now, right? Like, so I do have songs that go to radio. I have a song at radio right now, but I never, I think mentally, and I think even my label and my team probably to their you know, chagrin would be like, I don't think like an artist. I really do think like more of a minister. And I'm sure that is just because of all of my years in ministry and living in that world. I don't really know how to make that crossover mentally. And so I just still approach it from a like, hey, this has to feel really true. It has to feel really honest. And it really, more than anything, I have to feel like I have a sense of God's approval to move forward with it. Like, I don't want to just make a record and make a record. That doesn't make sense to me. I want to make a record because I really feel like God's saying, hey, let's do this. I want you to say these things. That means sometimes I make different decisions on the business side than maybe the average artist would. It means that I don't really necessarily tour all the time because I'm trying to be really home and raising my family and still involved heavily in ministry. And man, kudos to the artists that are doing both and balancing both, because that is really hard. That's not a simple thing to do. And I've just been really fortunate that because I started late in life, my husband had a business that was successful, that meant I didn't have to tour to pay our bills. And so I've been able to be a little bit more strategic with that. But it also sometimes makes me feel the pressure to then like, the music better be good. I ain't doing anything else.
Well, if you can't sell the show, the music's got to make up for it, right?
Right. Or you're just not going to go do a show. Yeah, which I am. I'm doing some shows. I'm going to get out there.
Yeah, let's make that at least clear.
Yes. I'm not saying no to shows. I'm just saying I came out in a really weird time, but it was really good. It was a good timing for me. And it's given me space to like kind of slowly grow into a role I did not expect to be in this phase of life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. And so as you've been in that season and kind of come up in that season where we're all locked down and all that, said, I know churches that I play at or have helped out or whatever. I mean, we've done Peace Be Still. We've done some of your songs. How have you connected with the churches and the people who these songs have impacted when you haven't been able to be on the road and seeing them physically and hear those stories in person?
I mean, at first I didn't know what I was missing because I didn't know. I'd never had that experience. So it didn't register to me until this last year when I actually did get to go out on the road and do a couple shows. And I hate saying shows, but just be able to go out and minister and lead worship or whatever that was. And to walk into a room and sing songs and everybody knows the words. Where in my mind, I'm still like, they don't know my song. And I'm walking, I'm like, oh my gosh, they know all the words to these songs. Or they're coming up and they're sharing stories about how these songs have meant so much to them. I didn't know that part because I had never experienced that part of it. And I will say it definitely gave me so much more of a sense of purpose. Cause I do think I struggled in 2021, towards the end of 2021, I started to go like, why am I even doing this? Like, this seems silly. You know, this is taking a lot of effort and energy. And I didn't know I was missing the human connection of it all, because I hadn't experienced that. And so I was struggling to be like, hey, why am I doing this? Like, this doesn't, like, I was just as happy, you know, when no one knew my name and didn't know any songs and didn't matter. So like, why am I going through all of the kind of effort that it takes to make a record and show up and write every single day and dig deep to tell stories? And then when I started to go out on the road and hear those stories and connect with people and watch people experience the presence of God in worship services, it was like, oh, okay, this is really at my heart. I'm a minister and a minister of the gospel. And what I've experienced just leading worship in my church for the last decade plus, oh, that also happens when I go out on the road and I'm able to minister these songs with these people. It's the same thing. And once I had that back, or once I discovered that, got the opportunity to have that, it really changed it for me and allowed me to go like, oh, this is why I'm here. to write songs and minister to people beyond just my church, but to the greater church and to the body of believers. So that's been really good for me.
I can't speak to it to the scale that you can, but it's more difficult to just throw something out into thin air, it seems like sometimes, and like hope it resounds with somebody.
Yeah.
Instead of just being able to see and speak and see the reaction in front of you, for good or bad.
True. Because for years, I had only ever written songs for my church. So I could immediately, as we would incorporate those songs into our church, whether I was leading them or someone else was leading, I could immediately see if that song was really resonating or if that song was impacting people on a theological level, or if it was impacting people on an intimate level on their relationship with Jesus, knowing whatever the heart or the theological message was for the song, was that actually being conveyed? I could see that immediately. But when I made a record that just felt like it went out into the universe, but have no human person to see how that was really impacting in real time, like real live time, that was challenging for me. But it also was really good for me because I think it made me have to like really dig deep and ask hard questions of why do I feel called to do this? Why do I want to do this? Do I want to do it again? Do I want to make another record? Like I had to ask all those really hard questions of myself in the process. And I'm grateful that I did, because I did end up making another record. I'm turning in the last song today.
Wow. And see, we did not plan this when we scheduled this episode. So
I did not. That's real.
Well, and I would say that it resounds well, because as I was checking earlier, you're over 14 million streams on Spotify alone of Peace Be Still, which really? Is mind-blowing.
That is mind-blowing.
I had to count the commas and the zeros and stuff. Like,
that's shocking. I mean, because to be honest, like the live version that my church put out, the Belonging Company, the one that Lauren Daigle sang live, I think it's the only live version as of now. I mean, it has like over 40 million views, I think, on YouTube or something. It's crazy how many it has. So when I went to record the studio version, I remember just like kind of saying to my label and just being like, look, like you guys need to have low expectations. I was like, this song is like already done, I think, everything it's going to do. I was like, but I just really feel called to release another version of it and send it to radio. I mean, at the time I was kind of like, I hope my mom and my husband buy it and maybe a couple of my friends. And, you know, I hope it just doesn't tank, you know, just like that. So it has definitely done more than I ever imagined. That's for sure.
And so you're talking about your church, The Belonging Co. Yeah. I finally got the chance to visit, I think it was November. Once again, like the whole time thing. Yeah, it could have been last week. It could have been November.
Just make a date. We'll just roll with it.
Throw a dart on the calendar and we'll run with that.
I love darts, by the way. We have a dart board in our garage.
I feel like there's something that we should pull at here, but I'm not sure what. Maybe we should have like a dart competition next time we do this.
We should do like a dart off.
Yeah.
You like every target that you hit, like when you get the bullseye, like you get to ask me like a crazy question. That would be the fun game.
I like where this is going, except for I hit the wall behind beside the dartboard more than I would the actual dartboard. So I feel like I'd be doing more drywall repair than I would be actually questioning.
My husband has like, there's like a huge piece of like plywood behind it. So you can't really ruin the, what do you call it? Drywall.
Well, things are looking up again.
You're wrong. Yeah. Okay. Start back to but it.
Belonging Co. That's where we're at.
You came to visit the Belonging.
Man, you talked about just an amazing experience. Got to tour some of the backstage of the, like the production elements. Y'all don't mess around there.
They do not mess around. I mean, I can't take credit for any of that. I don't understand any of it. I don't do any of it. But I know that it is really excellent for a couple of reasons. One, our pastor, Henry C. Lee, that is something that he is really important to him. He feels like being excellent at what you do is actual worship. I think he has always kind of set the standard of like, just because we're the church and just because we're Christians doesn't mean that we have to do this at a less quality level than anyone else would be doing it at. And, you know, it's been amazing because I think sometimes people struggle with that. They think like, why is that necessary? But I don't think that's necessary for every church. And I don't think that's necessary for every ministry, but it's part of the language of the culture that we really feel called to as a church to minister to. Like, we feel really called as a church to minister in the world of the creative arts, in music, in photography, in graphic design, in visual design. And so because of that, we want to be really excellent at what we do and kind of set a standard. And it's been wild because, like, in the last year, what's been really cool is, like, being in pockets that are completely away from my church where people wouldn't even know that I go there, and, like, randomly hearing someone say something like, oh my gosh, like, you should see the production at the Belonging Church. It's one of the best I've ever seen. Like, they really do such an incredible job. And honestly, that's not, the church hasn't usually had a history of people saying that about the church. It's usually like they're cutting corners and it's terrible. You know, that's just, or at least that's been my experience.
Or they're catching up
or whatever. And man, there was something so awesome about hearing that, like in an over, like just overhearing it in conversations over the past year, more than once. Yeah. And just being like, man, that's having impact, right? Because that may be the door that gets some 20-year-old kid that's like so into the creative arts and like is on the fringes of church, but that pulls them in and they get there because of the creative arts or the production level or the excellence, but they stay because they get wrecked by the presence of God, which is what we're ultimately after. We're ultimately after just setting a table that really makes it easy for people to get into the presence of God and God to meet them where they need to be met. And he can do the work that needs to be done in their hearts and their lives.
And I feel like the Bible kind of has a little dichotomy of also of the thinker versus kind of like the emotional aspect of it.
Right.
You know, just the different kind of connections, different people respond to the more intellectual and the study and the apologetics and stuff that makes my brain hurt. And some people really connect with like the creative side and, you know, the storytelling side of it.
But then you also have the people that are like my husband, who's an engineer. And what speaks to him is walking into a church that is excellent. Because to him, that says you care about details. And if you care about details in this, then that tells me you care about the details in God's word and how God loves and how God fathers. It means that you're a safe place for me because I know that you're not cutting corners. It means I can trust your integrity. And I think we dismiss that a lot of times. My husband is not moved by the emotional. He's not moved by the creative. He's moved by the fact that, like, the details of our house, our church, how we run, how we operate are handled with such care and such attention to detail and excellence. That is what makes him tick. And so I think it's easy for people to think, put it in the category of exuberant, not necessary, I don't understand it, or put too much focus on it, right? Where it's just like, that's everything. And we can kind of miss that group of people in the middle. Like, they actually, details really are important to them, and they're not in either of those categories. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's crazy how sometimes we lose the focus that, you know, we got to focus on this church is the best or that church is the best or whatever.
Personally,
different people are wired differently. That's and it's exactly all about right. connecting people to God the way they're wired.
Well, here's the thing. At the end of the day, if we're all as the body of Christ, keeping the main thing, like keeping the word at the center of everything that we do and it being the highest level of accountability for our lives, for our messages, for our ministries, whatever we're doing. And we understand that Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the work, the finished work of the cross and the grave, are the answer to everything. And they are the ultimate thing. Like, if the ultimate thing is, I just need to introduce you to Jesus, then honestly, we should just probably let go of the petty arguments about this church expresses it this way, and this church expresses it this way, and this church expresses it this way. Because that's like me saying, like, you don't get to like country music because I don't like country music. And you don't get to do this because I don't like that. Well, no, I mean, country music is great. And so is rap music. And like, there's a lot of different expressions. As long as the core tenets of those things are in line with the word of God, and you're not dealing with something that is anti-kingdom and anti the word, I think we just need to have a lot of more grace for each other and what connects us to God, right? Because that's the goal. The goal is that we are connecting with Jesus and we're building relationship with Jesus. Yep. And if the church is doing that, but they're doing it maybe in a way that's different than what you're used to or you think, maybe we just could set that aside. Maybe that would be a really healthy thing for us to do as believers.
Focus is everything, I think, sometimes.
Yeah. And being okay with just not understanding something, like not passing judgment on it because you don't understand it. Because usually there are reasons behind things that we don't know that make sense to us once we do know.
I feel like that's one of the things that from 2020, 2021, that's really had the hardest time sinking in with me sometimes. But, you know, we're talking about what growth, what we like, what we don't like coming out of this whole thing. And I don't know, I think some people, that's been a major revelation just with all the junk that we've seen. I don't know. That's one of the things that I think I really hope sticks, and the change that I'd like to see that came of it is just allowing the room for other people to think differently and to not get antsy about it, about who's right or wrong or anything, but just like you said, kind of keeping the focus of connecting people to God and connecting to people and showing the love of God rather than showing them the right or the wrong.
I mean, Jesus is really clear about loving our enemies. And I think that is something that maybe is more complicated than we are willing to admit sometimes, because we don't like the word enemy. That feels so volatile and it feels so, you know.
I know the word you're looking for, confrontational.
It feels confrontational, right? Or it just feels like a different era of time. But a lot of times what is really an enemy is just somebody who you don't agree with. Yeah. And you think is in the wrong, or they think you're in the wrong. I think we tend to find ourselves thinking we have the power to save them and we have the power to change them, and we don't. Jesus alone holds that power. And my job is actually to come alongside you and just keep pointing you to Jesus and trust that the Holy Spirit can do the work. I can see something in your life that I don't agree with. I can see something in your life that I'm like, I don't even think that's in line with the word of God. And if I have relationship with you and I have permission to have those conversations, then I should. But if I don't, if you're somebody that I don't know and I don't have that relationship with you, and I don't have that, you know what my job to do is to pray. Yep. It's to pray that the Holy Spirit would make himself known to you and reveal to you things in your life that maybe aren't in line with the word of God, just like in my own life that might not be in alignment with God. And to be confident and secure in the fact that the Holy Spirit is really good at doing his job, and I am not. And I think we forget that. Yep. I think we forget that all the time, that we feel in an evangelical mindset, it is my job to be on top of every single thing at every single moment, making sure I've made every, and there's a fine line there, right? Because at the same time, I am responsible for being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and being able to see and pay attention to the people around me and meet them where they are and meet their needs and bring Jesus to, you know, our, I love how Anna Golden says it, take people to Jesus at every opportunity that I have. But I think a lot of times we get in our own way through our own opinions, our own ideologies, our own expressions, our own likes, our own dislikes. And it causes us to get caught there instead of actually moving, I think, in the compassion and the grace that Jesus calls us to, while still speaking truth and love. Like, you don't have to be a doormat, but you also don't have to be a bully. Yep. You just don't. Yep.
I think I'm going to use that. That needs to go on a t-shirt.
Well, it's like we've just decided. I think culturally you're one or the other.
Yep.
I'm just like, no, like, why can't you just be a door opener?
Yep.
Like, I don't need to go under the doormat, and I also don't need to open the door and, you know, just immediately start punching. Like, what if my job, I love the scripture about just being a gatekeeper. My job is to open the door, and hopefully what I invite you into is the presence of Jesus. And something about the way that I opened the door was so hospitable and so loving and so caring that you didn't get caught up or tripped up by me. You were able to move immediately past me and directly into Jesus. That's what I want. And so if that means that I have to sit with people in seasons where I'm like, I do not agree with you on that, I would rather my love and my compassion for them to be the thing that moves them to Jesus than maybe my judgment and my criticism. Because those things don't move me towards Jesus. They just move me away from the person that's in front of me. Yeah.
And I was trying to pull in the quote that I'd heard, the theory that you can be right, but it can be at the wrong time in the wrong manner. And essentially be wrong at the end.
Yeah, you can be right and still be wrong. Yeah. You can be absolutely theologically right. You can be absolutely right in a paradigm or right in a truth and absolutely get it wrong relationally.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I learned that from being married long enough, but we can.
Oh my gosh. And being a parent, you know, and I think to me, I want to be able to be right in both places. I want to know internally that where I'm landing theologically, where I am landing scripturally, where I am landing in my relationship with Jesus is right according to scripture and right according to context and historical scripture. But I also want to be right in how I engage with people relationally. Jesus was so relational. Yeah. I mean, when you look at Jesus in the story where he goes to the Samaritan woman at the well, he was wrong according to law. What he was doing was actually wrong. But the relational side of it was more important to him, but he was willing to be wrong in the eyes of a culture. And I'm not saying that flippantly, like just go do something wrong. I'm saying he was willing to go and be in the presence of someone that culture would have said, you shouldn't associate with that person. Because if you associate with them, you're agreeing to their lifestyle. You're agreeing to their opinion. You're agreeing to their stance. You're agreeing to whatever they're doing that we don't think is right. And Jesus was saying, but I'm bigger than that. I'm greater than that. I actually have a healing and a living water that this woman needs. And I don't want the culture that says you can't associate with her because she's different to prevent me from being in her presence and actually bringing her the healing that's going to change her life. And I think that's how I want to live my life, is that I go, even if someone else is going like, well, why would you be friends with them? Because Jesus loves them. And I trust that if I am living right with Jesus, then Jesus will actually be loud enough in my life that they hopefully encounter him. And that's what I'm after at the end of the day, way more than I'm after them just agreeing with me on everything. Because once you're in relationship with Jesus, Jesus does the work of sanctification. Jesus does the work of changing your paradigms and the way you live and the way you think and the way you operate. And I'd much rather him be the one that's doing the changing than me.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they're just changing for me, and they're just man-pleasing, and that's not going to last when, you know, crap hits the fan. I want someone to be rooted in a relationship with Jesus. I just want to open the door and introduce them.
Yep.
Sorry, we got off on a wild tangent, but I think this is really important. And, you know, even though my job is doing music and that's how I engage with the world and share a lot of my thoughts and my opinions and my relationship with Jesus, I think this is the stuff that really, 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 really matters at the end of the day. Like, I don't think I'm going to stand before Jesus and Jesus is going to be like, I'm so glad. I'm so proud of you. You wrote 100 songs and people sang them all over the world. No, I think Jesus is going to be like, I'm really glad that you loved that woman well that you disagreed with. You loved her like I would love her. Or I'm disappointed that you didn't engage with that person because you just thought they were a lost cause. Like, I think Jesus is more interested in those things than he is about whether I had a song on radio. and not that those don't have impact and that you can't do those things. Please don't. I'm not diminishing that or just saying that that doesn't have significance, but I don't think that's the thing that I'm going to be judged on.
Well, I'm not sure if God has a Spotify account.
I don't think so.
I don't think he sees the stats.
I don't think so. Or it's just not on his, you know, top 10 priority list.
Exactly. Well, speaking of the music, as we kind of start to wind down the episode here, you have the single that's been out for a little bit.
Yeah.
You had the TIBCO album. Sorry, TIBCO is what I've heard shortened for the Belonging Co.
Oh, really?
Maybe I just made that up. Maybe maybe I could start it. I don't know.
Hey, you know what? You go for it.
So the Belonging Co. released a live album last year that you were a part of.
Yes.
And then you have the new album that's coming out. And as we said, the last song is being submitted today.
Yeah.
What has been weaved through the songs? What can we expect from the new album? What has been like your highlights from this last little bit from the music side here?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it was really exciting to get those songs out with the Belonging last year. The two songs that I was on, I wrote several, but the two songs that I sang on, they were really significant to me because I really wrote them very purposefully for our church. Wanted a song. We didn't really have a lot of songs that were kind of more about, I think, what is the healing and miracle power of Jesus coupled with really active faith. Because I think sometimes when we're in seasons and we're believing for a miracle or we're believing for healing, it's just hard. Like, you're just so focused on what isn't happening. And I understand that. And I get that. I've had those seasons. But it was almost like I felt like we were in such a long season of waiting for something to change that because of the pandemic, I was like, man, I really want a song where people can like just put their faith in action and like move opposite of what I know we all are feeling and like have language to just move in the opposite direction. And then there was another song called No Turning Back that I wrote very intentionally for moments in worship, corporate worship services that are for baptisms or for the salvation message. I just kept hearing, you know, our pastors offer the salvation message at the end of every service. And I just kept thinking, man, we don't really have a song that kind of talks about that, basically gives the gospel message in a song. It was really great to write this, kind of like what you were talking about earlier, to write them and see them do in our congregation and in other churches, like to see other churches literally singing No Turning Back during their baptism services or at the end of their services for their salvation message. Just like it moved my heart so much because I felt like it was like, okay, God, I felt like you dropped that in my spirit and you gave me an assignment. And I feel like through the power of the Holy Spirit, the collaboration of my co-writers, like we were able to like show up and really do that in a way that we feel like honored what we're called to do. But when it came to writing a second record, it was incredibly hard. I think writing for the church and writing for corporate church is so easy for me in a lot of ways. I shouldn't say easy. That sounds arrogant. It's more my natural habitat. Yeah. It's like, I'm really comfortable there. I'm always writing typically for the church and for people. And what I sense God is wanting us to corporately sing, moving into making albums that are kind of a hybrid where there's some songs that are corporate. There's some songs that are more personal storytelling or just, as Leland always says, there's this old, I guess it would have been like maybe in the 1800s where they would consider songwriting within like the believing sector is like high praise and low praise. And then that doesn't mean like good and bad. It just meant that high praise was designated for corporate settings, for the corporate church to come in, exalt praise corporately for the Lord. And then there was considered low praise that was more of the poetic storytelling of the believer's journey of faith and their life. And both had their places. So there wasn't, one wasn't good or bad. They just served different things. And so I would say like making a record that feels like more like in line with that, the low praise, the poetic life journey, talking about it. That's been harder than I expected. I thought that those would be the easier songs because I'm super relational and I love words and all those kinds of things. But I think bearing your soul open, but also figuring out how to do it in a way that is sonically going to meet people in the way that feels honest and true to you. That was just really hard for me. It was like, I would write a song and I loved the content of the song, but sonically it didn't feel right. Or I would write a song and sonically it felt on par, but I felt like the lyric content wasn't great. And so I spent a year just wrestling and being like, why isn't this working? And so finally at the end of last year, in December of 2021, after just feeling frustrated, like it wasn't working, but at the same time, let me just say this, because this is part of the record. I didn't feel like it was working, but I also feel like God didn't release me. And I felt like God said, I just need you to keep showing up. I just need you to keep like working the muscle and like, just because it's not working or you're not writing the songs that you feel like are the ones that you are meant to carry and release, I need you to just keep showing up and just and basically like keep showing up for work and like, just be a good steward of the season that you're in. And man, that was frustrating because if anybody has ever been in a season where they just keep showing up to their job and they just keep feeling like every single day they fail at their job, but they keep showing up, you know, that feeling of just like, okay.
It's a different kind of strength.
Right. But it's hard. I mean, it's, you want to quit every single day. You're like, but can I turn in my resignation notice today? And so finally towards the end of the year, I felt like I needed to change kind of how I was approaching it. And so I just gathered my closest friends that I've been writing with for years, people that I knew knew me as a worship leader from the Belonging. Either we've been writing and leading worship together for years, or they were songwriters and producers that had worked with me in both places that I knew I could just go away with and trust that they understood both sides of me. They understood the part of me that is so dedicated to the local body and writing corporate worship songs, but also the side of me that was open probably more than ever for the first time to maybe write some songs that weren't as corporate. But how do you do that and still feel like it's really true to who you are, right? And not just going off in left field. And so they went away with me for a couple of days, and I was just able to share my heart and just pour out all the things that I felt like the Lord had been speaking to me for 2 years. And we wrote, I think, every song on this project minus one song came from that weekend. And then there's more that I'll release next year. So this first round of songs is an EP. It's 7 songs. And then we'll follow up next year with a lot more songs. But, you know, music has changed even in the 2 years since I put out music. And really, it's hard to put out albums these days and the music get heard. Unfortunately, yep. You can, if you know, unless you're just a massive, massive artist, honestly, if you put out a 10 song record, you're lucky if people hear 2 songs. And so everyone's kind of rethinking how they're doing it. It's hard for me. I'm old school. I want a full album because I like making a body of art. That's like really important to me. So I'm like learning how to like be flexible, but still make what I feel like is true. And so I'll follow it up next year with more songs. Anyways, it's been really great. I'm really proud I didn't quit. I'm really proud I didn't give up, because I think there's something about there's a song on this new EP called Coming Back. It was literally me writing about just the process of like coming back every single day to the Lord and saying, I don't have anything. I don't have a song. I don't have a new idea. And I'm weary and I'm tired. And I felt so much like Hannah in a way, not trying to compare wanting to have a baby to writing songs, but that feeling of like, the thing that I'm believing for isn't happening, and yet you're not releasing me. You're not telling me to move on from believing for it. So all I can do is just keep showing up and keep showing up and coming back to you and coming back to you. And I think that that's the journey of faith, right? Like that in every season, when we're weary, when we're tired, when walking out the journey of faith doesn't feel like a mountaintop and it feels more like a valley, we just keep coming back to Jesus with what little we have. Maybe you don't have anything, but that's where he meets us. He meets us in our weakness and he meets us in our strength. And I just love that that was the first song I wrote that weekend. And then not knowing little less than a year later, I would be releasing almost every song that we wrote that weekend. Like I didn't know that like that was the moment that there would feel like there was some breakthrough. And I just think writing that song first was kind of really cool how that all planned out. So that's exciting.
Well, excited for the song to come out. Excited to hear it. Hope. And yeah. The EP, I mean, there's just going to be so much that we're looking forward to from you, Hope.
I know. I'm excited. I mean, I took my sweet time. So I feel like I owe everybody a lot of music now.
Just open the floodgate. Just let her go.
Right. Just pour it out.
Well, awesome. Well, I just appreciate you taking the time and just hanging out here.
Thank you. It was so nice to talk to you.